We pray. Dear Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, when the real Christmas is truly believed, it brings the greatest of consolation and hope and joy that surpasses all understanding. That is truly what the birth of Christ does. The problem is that Satan is constantly trying to misdirect us and distract us from the real Christmas. We can even forget what Christmas is all about, as millions do. Tonight and for the next two Wednesdays during Advent, we'll be looking at several ways in which the devil, the world, and our own flesh can distract us from the real Christmas, perhaps even trying to lead us to forget it and even deny it. But then, to bring us back to the real Christmas for our comfort, joy, peace, and hope, so that we can use this Advent season to prepare us for the coming of Christ. This evening, we will look at what I consider to be the most popular way of distracting us and distorting the Christmas event. It centers on those words we just read from Luke chapter 2, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I came across a website this week that expresses an extreme distortion of Christmas peace on earth, and here's what it says, part of it anyway. The nonviolent Jesus was born 2,000 years ago into abject poverty to homeless refugees on the outskirts of a brutal empire. That child grew up to become, in Gandhi's words, the greatest nonviolent resistor in the history of the world. Jesus taught peace, lived peace, and blessed peacemakers. He took action to end systemic injustice, and he did it in a nonviolent way. 2,000 years later, the world continues to reject the things that make for peace. It remains stuck in the old cycle of war, militarism, empire, poverty, and injustice. But that's not the meaning of Christmas. Indeed, support for war, weapons, or killing in any form is a complete betrayal of the nonviolent Jesus. It mocks his life, Christmas, and the God of peace. That's why I've come to the conclusion that no one can claim to be an authentic Christian anymore if they support warfare and weapons. He goes on to say quite a few other things, too, in the same vein. And as I said, this is a very, very extreme and very faulty understanding of Christmas. There are milder versions like this that are not quite so political. What we see, however, is that most people do buy into a milder version, a milder distortion, believing that Christmas would or should somehow bring about earthly peace, so there will be no or much less war and hatred and fighting and greed and lust for power and struggles between the haves and the have-nots. And so we don't need these large armies and all these weapons. They think that's what peace on earth means when the angel sang it. And it's what many buy into. Peace on earth, like physical peace on earth, where the earth can get better and better. So the question is this what Jesus, or is this what the angels were talking about, an earthly peace? Now we can understand why people in war-torn countries are hoping that's maybe what the angels meant. The problem, however, is that we are no closer to earthly peace today than we were 2,000 years ago. In fact, you could make a good argument that we're worse today than we were back then. So, either the coming of Jesus Christ was and is a complete failure, because we don't have such an earthly peace, or the Christian religion is a lie, since there is no real earthly peace today any more than there was back then. Sometimes, though, we think, well, maybe we can create some sort of greater peace on earth. And you're probably familiar with that classic example during World War I. And I think I've shared this with you before in a sermon where both the British and the Belgians and the French put down their arms, and the Germans put down their rifles on Christmas Eve, and they gathered together in the middle, and they celebrated, they sang Christmas carols, and they played soccer. So it works, right? Peace on earth. Well, that lasted for a day and a half. And then they got back to fighting and killing each other. So, Jesus has told us very clearly that wars will continue throughout time and that they will even increase. Not to mention that many wars are just wars that have to be fought, including Christians can engage in them. And even though, as St. Paul says, we are to seek to live at peace with everyone, and even though Christians are clearly told that we are never to spread Christianity by force or by war, this world will never be without war. And those who think so and would like to use Jesus and Christmas to that end are blind to a very, very important reality. All the wars we hear about, all the fighting that we see taking place between nations and within nations, all the hatred and greed and power grabbing, and the fighting that we have even observed within our own families and within ourselves, all of these are a reflection and a result of a much more serious war where the hatred is very real. All the wars and conflicts between human beings are a reflection of and a result of the war we human beings have declared on God. So again, going back to our lesson from Colossians, once you were alienated, hostile in your minds toward God. As Paul reminds us in Romans, there is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. There is no one who does good, not even one. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And this war between us and God is much more devastating, uglier, than any war between men. And it has lasted throughout history. So this war results in these wars between us. Every time we sin, we are expressing that war with God and rejecting his benevolent rule. If you could look beneath every sin you commit, no matter how innocent it may seem, you would see it as a hatred directed against God himself. And that's why King David, who had committed adultery and murdered a fellow human being, that's why he said in repentance, "Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." Any sin is always directed against God. So we declared war on God. And you know what? He would oblige us. He had to. It was his rule, his honor, and his name that were at stake. And so God would wage war against us and our sin. But his war against us and our sin was infused and permeated and directed by his love and his mercy for us. He waged war against us by waging war against just one of us. He chose one of us to fight against and defeat. My son, go there and become one of them. And the war they have declared on me, I will win by slaying and defeating you in their place. And he did. This was a real war between God and man. The Son of God comes to earth as a man like us, yet without sin. He came as our substitute. And the all-powerful God led his only begotten Son from the manger to the cross. God put him there and placed on him all our sins, all our hatred towards God. And then God took careful aim at Christ and killed him as if he were an enemy, as if he were us. The result was, at the expense of Christ, peace between God and man. Again, from Colossians, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated and hostile, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him, if indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith. So this is the peace that the angels sang about. So don't get confused, and don't get caught up in the wrong peace when you hear the words of the angels and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Don't get distracted from the fact that Jesus became the solution for your sins and to bring you peace with God through the cross. As Paul said, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as Christ loved us, we now love others, even our enemies. We help them, we have mercy on them, we do them good whenever we can. And as we do, perhaps we are able to create a little earthly peace here on earth while we wait for Christ to come the last time. And like Christ, if people hate us, slander us, harm us, we turn the other cheek, and if we are able, we tell them about Christ, who died for their peace with God as well. We tell them we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and they can too. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen.